Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the half-year conference call of 4SC on the August 8th, 2013. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participants have difficulties hearing the presentation, please press star followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Jochen Olofsgård. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon and good morning to the U.S. It's a pleasure to welcome you to today's conference call on 4SC's financial results in the second quarter and for the first six months of 2013. With me on the phone is Enno Spillner, CEO and CFO of 4SC. Also with us here for the later Q&A session is Bernd Hensch, CDO of 4SC. My name is Jochen Olofsgård. I'm the IR manager at 4SC. Before we start, I would like to briefly remind you that during this call, we may make projections or estimates relating to plans and objectives relating to our future operations, products or services, future financial results, or assumptions underlying or relating to any such statements, each of which constitutes a forward-looking statement subject to risks and uncertainties, many of which are beyond our control. Actual results could differ materially depending on a number of factors. With this, I turn the call over to Enno.
Yes. Thank you, Jochen, and welcome everyone to our Q2 results conference call. It's a pleasure having you on this call once again. In our Q1 call 3 months ago, we for the first time announced to you the strategic adjustments to our research and development activities. Today, I can provide you with some implementation details of our focused R&D strategy, explain our objectives, and update you on the measures we have already processed so far. In the second quarter of 2013, we have reviewed, optimized, and streamlined our development strategy as well as our portfolio. By taking this step, the company is now in a position to better concentrate on its key value drivers, thus adopting a more targeted approach with regards to the company's business development and the generation of long-term value. The realignment and refocusing of our strategy comprised of the following points. First, focus on the main products and value drivers, in particular on our lead compound, resminostat, in the liver cancer indication, HCC, and at the same time, reprioritizing resminostat as a first-line therapy for HCC. Second, reprioritizing and streamlining our remaining product portfolio. Third, adjust the organizational and personnel structure of the focused development strategy. Coming back to first, our primary focus has been set on our resminostat compound as a drug for treating advanced liver cancer. We intend to push the development of the compound towards market approval and, in the process, prioritize on the HCC first-line therapy because here the medical need and market potential are especially high. We are now further strengthening our efforts to prepare the required clinical registrational program. That said, the use of resminostat as HCC second-line therapy will remain an attractive alternative or additional option for us. Second, the reprioritization of our product portfolio and aggregation of our resources to focus on the continued improvement of resminostat has also entailed the drawing down or halting of some of our other development projects. Affected by this measurement are the projects 4C-203 and 4C-207, as well as two projects in the research phase that will no longer be pursued independently. We will, however, evaluate possibilities to partly out-license or sell some of these positions. Furthermore, we do not intend to continue standalone investments into the further development of our compound vidofludimus in autoimmune diseases. Instead, we are looking for external potential partners and investors in order to accomplish the next stage in development as a joint project. That said, and as a result of our new focus, we will no longer be funding the continued development of vidofludimus from our own financial resources. Third, as part of the strategic focus, we adapted and streamlined our resources, especially in administration and development. Compared to the headcount at the end of May, this will entail a workforce reduction by 15% during the course of the year, and also means the closure of our Überlingen-Bondorf site by year end. We assume that annual staff costs will be reduced by a high 6 euro figure starting in the 2014 financial year. In summary, all of these measures are aimed to enhance 4C's market position in the long term based on a more efficient cost structure and a focused application of our funds and resources to the company's main value drivers. Our group's subsidiary 4C Discovery GmbH, which commenced operations successfully last year and is aimed at commercializing our early stage research, remains equipped with all required resources, enabling it to continue its growth pathway. I would now like to turn to progress made in business operations in the second quarter 2013. In May, our partner Yakult Honsha has started clinical development with resminostat in advanced liver cancer in Japan. This randomized trial, conducted in Asian, mostly Japanese patients, will compare the sorafenib standard therapy with the combined approach of resminostat and sorafenib as a potential new HCC first-line therapy. For 4C, this is a highly significant step, since we are currently also working to prepare the further clinical development of resminostat/sorafenib combination as a first-line therapy approach for advanced HCC in Western patient populations. In May, we also successfully completed the phase one part of our SHORE study. This trial investigated resminostat in combination with FOLFIRI chemotherapy targeting second-line colorectal cancer patients, so colorectal cancer. These patients' phase one results once again confirm and emphasize resminostat's positive safety profile, its clinical activity, and most importantly, its broad applicability in combination with established cancer therapies, in this case, chemotherapy. However, and despite these encouraging data obtained in the trial so far to date, due to our strategic focus on the planned registrational trial with resminostat in the main indication of liver cancer, we have taken the decision to halt development in the indication of colorectal cancer for the time being. Yet, we may return to build on these results at any time in the future, both in colorectal cancer and in other cancer indications. Another very significant and intriguing advancement in our R&D activities was the identification of a potential predictive biomarker called ZFP64 or zinc finger protein 64, whose expression in our phase 2 trials in liver cancer and Hodgkin's lymphoma positively correlated with the observed survival data of patients receiving treatment with resminostat. In both cancer trials, we identified that patients with higher expression levels of ZFP64 had an improved chance of achieving a longer survival time. ZFP64 is a co-activator of the crucial Notch cancer signaling pathway, and its expression is being downregulated by resminostat. We therefore assume that treatment with resminostat is particularly beneficial in patients with tumor diseases that have a strong dependence of tumor cell signaling via the Notch pathway. We now plan to utilize these new biomarker findings and insights to drive the development of resminostat into a personalized liver cancer therapy by exploring the opportunity to select patients that may benefit from resminostat treatment based on the measurement of their ZFP64 expression levels. In July, and thus after the end of the official reporting period, our Japanese partner Yakult Honsha started the development of resminostat in a new solid cancer indication, non-small cell lung cancer. The randomized phase 1/2 study will investigate safety and efficacy of resminostat in combination with the cancer drug docetaxel versus docetaxel monotherapy in up to a total of 118 patients with advanced metastatic or recurrent NSCLC who have previously received one platinum-based chemotherapy. Also in July 2013, we announced that we have expanded our international patent protection for our second epigenetic anti-cancer compound 4C22 in key pharmaceutical markets, so China plus Hong Kong and in the US. In China, we received the composition of matter patent for 4C22, while in Hong Kong, the granting of this key patent is now imminent after receiving a notification of allowance. And in addition, the US Patent Office has given a notification of allowance for certain salts of the compound, which considerably extend the already existing composition of matter patent terms of protection in the US. 4C's second strategic pillar, our early stage research subsidiary 4C Discovery GmbH, is making good progress as well. In the reporting period, 4C Discovery continued its research collaborations initiated in the first quarter of 2013 with the Danish pharmaceutical company Leo Pharma and the German-based biopharma company BioNTech. In June, 4C Discovery started a new R&D collaboration with the leading Belgian pharma player UCB. Together with its technology and marketing partner Crelux, 4C Discovery will work on the identification and validation of new small molecule compounds for the treatment of neurological diseases, which UCB will bring, while UCB will bring the compounds into further preclinical and clinical development. Now, let me report on the financial performance, cash flows, and financial positions of 4C in Q2 and for the first half of 2013, as at June 30th, respectively. Thanks to the significantly higher revenue and lower costs, our consolidated operating results continued to improve in the first 6 months of 2013. With a loss per share of 0.12 euro, we reduced the figure of the first 6 months of 2012 by 50%, 5-0. On a quarterly basis, the loss per share improved from 0.09 to 0.07 in Q2 2013. We said we have to take into account that the results in Q2 and H1 2013 were burdened by one-off extraordinary expenses amounting to roughly euro 1.2 million in connection with the refocusing of our R&D strategy carried out in the second quarter, and I'll get back to that topic later on again. With financing secured into the third quarter of 2014, we also have an adequate financial base for preparing and executing the next relevant steps, securing the further development of 4C and of our products. So let me start with the P&L. Consolidated revenue was at euro 1.17 million euros in the second quarter of 2013 and thus more than tripled the figure in the comparative quarter. With the exception of the revenue of 3.3 million euros generated in the fourth quarter of 2012, which included directly recognized license revenues of 2.5 million euros from an upfront payment from BioNTech, this is 4C's highest quarterly revenue in 5 years. In the first 6 months of the year, consolidated revenue thus increased by 167% year-on-year to 1.96 million euro. The positive development was mainly attributable to the ongoing cooperation agreements with BioNTech and Leo Pharma, both started in the first quarter of this year. Revenue in the development segment remained constant, both on the quarterly and on a half-year basis. Revenue in the discovery and collaborative business segment was given a substantial boost. It amounted to 0.94 million euros in the second quarter and showed a more than fivefold increase in the first 6 months of the year, showing 1.5 million euros compared to 0.28 million euros in the first half of 2012. Operating expenses stood at 4.59 million euros in the second quarter of 2013, an increase of 5% on the prior year figure. At euro 8.1 million euros, the half-year figure was down 5% year-on-year compared to H1 in 2012. The reason for the year-to-year increase in operating expenses on a quarterly basis lies in the extraordinary expenses incurred in Q2 2013. The development segment accounted for 6.6 million euros of operating expenses, while the discovery or collaborative business segment incurred for 2.3 million euros, and the consolidation accounted for 0.7 million euros. As already indicated, two one-off extraordinary factors related to the strategy adjustment in Q2 drove up operating expenses by roughly 1.2 million euros in the second quarter of this year. First, non-recurring non-cash expenses of 0.7 million euros were due to associated impairment losses in connection with the streamlining of the product pipeline, as already described. Second, operating expenses in the reporting period include an amount of 0.5 million comprising accrued liabilities in connection with the adjustment of the personnel structures due to the focus strategy. About half of these expenses are made up by prepaid staff costs, which can be reversed during the year's second half. Therefore, at the end of the day, one-time extraordinary factors of just under 1 million euros arising can therefore be anticipated for 2013 as a whole. Research and development costs incurred in connection with ongoing clinical studies and the preparation of planned clinical studies continue to make up the majority of FOSC's expenses. R&D costs were down slightly by 1% over the prior year quarter to 3.1 million euros and down 15%, 1.5, over the first 6 months of the year, which is then 5.2 million euros. After adjusting for extraordinary factors, research and development costs amounted to 2.1 million euros in the second quarter and down to 4.2 million euros in the first half year. Due to the growth in revenue, the reduction in R&D costs, as well as continued cost-saving measures, the result from operating activities, so EBIT, improved significantly. The loss from operating activities improved by 14% year-on-year to €3.4 million in the second quarter of 2013 and by 21% to €6.2 million in the first 6 months of 2013. Again, after adjusting for the one-off expenses of €1.2 million, the operating loss in the first half of the year improved even more to €4.96 million, down by as much as 37% compared with the prior year figure. The net loss for the period improved by 15% year-on-year to €3.4 million in the second quarter and by 21% to €6.1 million in the first 6 months of this year. In total, we experienced no surprises regarding the balance sheet. Therefore, I will only comment on some selected items here. And the decline in equity from €22 million roughly as at the end of December 2012 to €15.8 million at the end of June of this year was influenced primarily by the loss for the first 6 months of €6.1 million, lifting the accumulated forwarded deficit accordingly from €109 million to €115 million. The equity ratio declined by 5.4 percentage points from 75.0% as at the end of December of 2012 to 69.6% as at June 30th of this year. Total assets and total equity and liabilities amounted to €22.6 million at the end of June, down 22% on the end-of-year figure 2012, which was amounting to €29.1 million. This decrease is primarily attributable to the loss of the period, of course. Cash flows from operating activities in the first half of 2013 were influenced most by the group's income from the license agreements concluded with BioNTech and with Leo Pharma. An additional positive effect on the operating cash flows comes from non-cash expenses totaling 1.24 million euros. These include the already mentioned one-off impairment losses incurred in connection with the streamlining of our pipeline. As the result, the company recorded cash outflows from operating activities of just 2.8 million euros compared to a pre-tax loss of 0.1 million euros. €6.1 million. In the comparative 2012 period, a pre-tax loss of 7.7 million euros resulted in cash outflows in the amount of 6.9 million euros. So at the end of June, 4C had funds totaling of 9.2 million euros compared to 12.1 at the end of December of 2012. This resulted in an average outflow of cash from operating amounting operations amounting to only 0.5 million euros per month in the first half year of this year. So, all in all, both on the financial and the operating side, things clearly went towards the right direction. However, the overall positive development of 4C unfortunately wasn't reflected in the share price development in the reporting period. The share price made a good start to the second quarter, reaching a temporary high of €2.15 on the beginning of June, following the good news the good news flow regarding the start of Yakult's phase 1/2 HCC study in Japan, the publication of our positive clinical CSC phase 1 data, plus the biomarker findings in HCC and Hodgkin's lymphoma. However, profit takings and little stimulation of share demand coupled with low liquidity together with some growing nervousness at the capital markets took a further toll on 4C's shares at the end of the quarter, and all in all the share price declined by 90% in the first half. We are not at all happy with this development, of course, but we are working hard to get the share back to where it should be. As at June 30th of this year, the 4C Group had a total headcount of 83 employees after 86 as at December 31st, 2012. The development segment had 57 employees, while discovery and collaborative business segment consisted of 26 headcounts. As a result, for the measures to reduce its workforce in accordance with a focused strategy by about 15% by the end of 2013, compared to the headcount as at May 2013, we expect a total workforce of approximately 70 employees at the year's end of this year. I'm now coming to the outlook on 2013 and beyond. So what can you expect from 4C going forward? And here's that. Let me start with the financial outlook first. As mentioned before, 4C Group had funds of 9.2 million euros at the end of the second quarter. These existing funds are expected to secure company financing into the third quarter of 2014. This forecast is based on the assumption that the average monthly operating cash burn in 2013 will be approximately at 0.6 million euros and that the company's R&D programs will continue to run according to plan. Please also bear in mind that these assumptions do not reflect the execution of a pivotal study program in the indication of liver cancer as currently being under preparation. We will only finally kick off such a study once we have secured adequate financing for it. And however, out of the current budget, we are already preparing financing preparational work, such as, for instance, the CMC progress, process, API production, CRO selection, interaction with regulatory authorities, and so on. 4C expects its loss situation to continue into the short to medium term, although research and development costs in 2013 are currently expected to be clearly lower than in 2012. Accordingly, the group's operating loss before adjustment of non-recurring effects should continue to decline year on year thanks to falling costs and the expected rise in earnings as contributed by the activities of 4C Discovery GmbH. The decision to focus R&D activities combined with adjustments to the corporate structure and the downsizing of workforce will enable 4C to further improve its cost structures. In conjunction with the reduction of the workforce, moderate one-time extraordinary net expenses of an estimated €250,000 are expected in the 2013 consolidated financial statements. This amount has been considered already in our H1 numbers, and from the 2014 financial year onwards, 4C expect these adjustments to result in a significant high six-figure reduction in staff cost per year. Based on the strong performance of 4C Discovery GmbH to date, during the current financial year, we expect our subsidiary to be able to achieve a balanced cash flow from operating activities in 2013, which would be a great achievement, clearly think. Finally, let me comment on the expected further developments in our company strategy and operations for 2013 and beyond. In the remaining months of the year, 4C will continue to pursue its focused research and development strategy and primarily concentrate on the development of those projects that promise our company the greatest potential for growing value. Regarding our flagship Resminostat, our top priority lies in the preparation of a registration trial as a first-line therapy for advanced liver cancer, testing the Resminostat-Sorafenib combination against the current and only approved HCC standard therapy of Sorafenib standalone. Subject to approval from the regulatory agencies, we are pursuing an adaptive study design for the trial. This will consist of an initial phase 2B stage, followed by a larger phase 3 part. Following a positive interim evaluation of the phase 2B stage, an adaptive modification could then be made for the phase 3 part that would start immediately afterwards. This interim evaluation of the phase 2B part may be a decisive value inflection point for 4C if, as we hope and also, of course, expect, the data generated in the phase 2B part show a considerably superiority of the Resminostat-Sorafenib combination over the Sorafenib monotherapy. We would thus create major value for the company and thus gain momentum for the continuation of the study in the phase 3 part. As plans currently stand, we assume around 640 patients to be included in the whole program, phase 2 and 3. In addition, we intend to integrate the analysis of ZFP64 as a potential predictive biomarker such that it forms an integral part of this anticipated study. If successful, this is intended to enable 4C to advance Resminostat as a personalized cancer therapy towards market approval, once again giving an additional positive spin to the Resminostat overall story. We are currently talking to potential partners with the aim of ensuring the financing and the successful initiation of such described study. Including the registration phase, 4C expect the overall study to last around 5 years as matters currently stand, assuming the phase 2B stage of the study commences in the first 6 months of 2014, market approval could therefore be granted in 2019. That said, again, the application of Resminostat as HCC second-line therapy will remain an attractive additional option for us in the years to come. On Resminostat, we also expect to release further data from clinical trials this year. Following the publication of the positive clinical data and overall survival for Resminostat from the phase 2 shelter trial in advanced liver cancer in 2012, the company will publish the additionally evaluated data from this trial, including the data from the extensive ZFP64 biomarker analysis. And we will present this at two scientific conferences in September 2013, in an oral presentation at the International Liver Cancer Conference ILCA in Washington, D.C., and in a poster presentation at the upcoming ECHO Conference in Amsterdam. Now, please allow me some further comments on the other parts of the product pipeline. We also expect to publish results from our phase 1 trials with the anti-cancer agents 4C22 and 4C25 in the second half of this year. Here, we assume to publish the results of the phase 1 TOPAZ dose escalation study with the epigenetic compound 4C22 in patients with advanced hematological tumors towards the end of this year. Furthermore, from the phase 1 Aegis trial with the oral EG5 kinesin inhibitor 4C25 in patients with solid tumors, a trial, by the way, that was amended and extended in December 2012 to include the testing of an innovative dosage regime, we now expect data also towards the end of this year. For our lead anti-inflammation compound vidofludimus, we are currently focusing on finding suitable partners and or investors in order to conduct the planned phase 2B trial in Crohn's disease. Overall, 4C aims to secure further licensing deals with companies from the pharma and biotech sectors to ensure the advancement of our clinical development programs, and this is intended to generate a flow of funds, safeguard the products, further development, and enable 4C to participate in the substance's successful further development. Following initial successes, our subsidiary 4C Discovery GmbH is currently focusing its efforts on securing further research collaborations with companies in the pharmaceutical and in biotech sectors, as well as early-stage partnering deals for the commercialization of its own research programs. And we are optimistic to be able to report on additional news flow here during the further course of the year 2013. So, on the whole, we believe that 4C is positioned well for 2013 and going beyond, given the promising clinical development programs and the expected clinical news flow in the short and medium term, in combination with our strength in the area of early stage research collaborations consolidated in the 4C Discovery GmbH. Plus, our decision at the beginning of 2013 to focus the resources on value drivers on the further optimizing, which helps us further optimizing our cost structures and being focused on the right programs. Together with my management board colleagues, I look forward to steering 4C through this important phase in the development of our company. In recent years, 4C has developed into a highly innovative company that, with resminostat and other drug candidates, has potential future blockbuster drugs in its portfolio. I do firmly believe that 4C is capable of realizing this potential, so stay tuned for continued news flow with regard to 4C's clinical product development plus 4C discovery activities. And having said that, I would like to thank you all for participating, and we are now interested and looking forward to your questions. Therefore, I'm handing back over to the operator. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Any participants would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, press star followed by the two. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. There will be a short pause whilst participants register for questions. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the one. Thank you. We have a question from Marietta Mimitz from Equinet. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. My questions mainly relate to the resminostat pivotal study that's currently in preparation. First, I wanted to clarify whether you would consider starting the phase 2B part of the study prior to obtaining full financing for phase 3. And I was also wondering if you can already provide us with a little bit more detail on how the ZFP biomarker will be integrated into the pivotal study. So will the primary efficacy analysis be done on the all-comer population or on stratified subgroups, i.e., would you be able to file if the drug worked only in patients with a certain level of the biomarker? And would you be able to file if it worked in the entire study population? And then I just have a financial question. How should we think about your revenues over the coming quarters? Would you say the very high level in Q2 is very much a run rate until you get more deals? Or would you say sales are actually going to be lumpy until you get more deals as the amount of work that you do for your customers varies from quarter to quarter? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Marietta. I'll take the first part of your resminostat question, and also coming back to your financial question, and then Bernd will take your biomarker question, so to say. So maybe let me start with the last question first, with regard to revenues anticipated. I think especially 4C Discovery is right now in a stage where there's kind of a continued basic revenue coming from collaborations like Leo Pharma and BioNTech. Of course, they will go in the future, go up and down a little bit. But our clear goal is to establish further collaborations So overall, for 2013, the goal would be to show an overall revenue that is in the ballpark of what we have seen last year as revenues. Then, of course, the next duty will be to stabilize this process also for 2014 and beyond, and this is something we are currently working on intensively. With regard to starting a phase 2B trial out of the whole Resminostat pivotal trial before financing, I think that is not 100% necessary because currently we are in the preparational work of this trial, and as I indicated, this will still take some while due to CMC production, API, CRO selection, and so on. And while this is running on the operational side, we will try to take care on the of the financial part as well in parallel, so that in an ideal case, we should have tackled that topic already when we are ready to go from an operational standpoint.
Okay, having said, thank you.
Yeah, this is Bernd Hensch speaking. I'll try to answer your question in terms of our biomarker plans in the pivotal development phase. So basically, what we plan to do is what is called an all-comer approach. So we will include patients not being selected for the ZFP64 expression for inclusion criteria. However, we will pre-specify sub-patient populations with different cutoff levels of ZSP64 expressions, and we will then do the expression analysis, the biomarker expression analysis, at the end of the trial, so to speak, once all samples are being collected, and then if a specific subpopulation shows a more stringent difference in survival benefits, that could lead to a subgroup or to approval for a subgroup that has a specific cutoff of ZFP64 expression. The study as such will be powered in general to achieve a primary endpoint for the all-comer populations, for all patients without stratification for ZFP64. However, the addition of that ZFP64 expression is certainly a risk-minimizing strategy because it may actually then, at the end of the day, lead to a higher likelihood of approval in a subpopulation. So we run a dual strategy here, which is a standard type of clinical trial design used in these type of settings, powered for reaching the overall survival endpoint for the entire population, but implement subgroup, pre-specified subgroup analysis to risk minimize the chances of approval here.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the 1 on your telephone. To cancel this request, please press star followed by the 2. The next question comes from Mike Etkenhat, Edison Group. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my questions. I've just got a couple of quick questions on the pipeline. The first one just relates to the planned adaptive resminostat study in frontline HCC. Can you give us any more thoughts on what improvement in survival the trial might be powered to show for the combination over sorafenib alone? And secondly, just in terms of the ZFP biomarker data, at which conference are we likely to see that presented at? Is it likely to be at the ESMO conference towards the end of September? And just very finally, on the earlier stage pipeline products, I think it's the 205, I'm just wondering if you can give us a little bit more information about the new dosing schedule that you're using and expected to read out in the second half of this year.
Could you please repeat the second question relating to ZFP64? I think we didn't get that fully.
I'm just wondering which conference you're planning to publish the data for the ZFP biomarker. Is it going to be the ECHO-ESMO conference at the end of September?
Oh, okay. Hmm. So, I mean, just maybe starting with that, right, as Enno pointed out, we're going to publish the data on two conferences. One will be an oral presentation summarizing patient characteristics and ZFP expression biomarker. And that will be in Washington on the International Liver Cancer Association Conference mid of September. And then secondly, we're going to have similar data set, but presented in a poster presentation end of September, early October in Amsterdam on the largest European oncology conference, the ECCO, basically. In terms of, now I actually forgot what the first part of your question was.
Just asking if you can give us a bit of an idea about what improvement in survival the trial might be powered to show. And really following on from that, another question about when you might expect to have additional interactions with the regulators about including ZFT within the trial design.
Okay, so the benefit that a combination could give over the standard therapy, so to speak, I think has to be calculated on a statistical basis. We personally think, and also when talking to clinicians or experts in the HCC field, if you would achieve a 1 month survival benefit, that would be something really difficult to position in the community. If it would be 6 weeks or more, that would start to be regarded as a positive signal. 2 months would be something everybody would feel very comfortable with, and that is sort of the range that we roughly calculate for our statistical assumptions, even though they are not fully graved in stone yet. And last but not least, I would like to recall that in the SHELTER trial, what we actually achieved, just from a mathematical point of view, would roughly add 2.9 months, so almost 3 months, to the existing first-line regimen in terms of overall survival expectations. So a two-month calculation base is, in our view, a rather conservative measurement, but also a measurement that is doable and translatable in such a clinical trial.
Okay, and just following up on when you might be likely to go back to the regulators in terms of the trial design, including ZFP.
You have to repeat that. Your connection appears not to be so good. Could you repeat that question, please, again?
Sure. The question just related to when you might be going back to the regulators, the FDA and the EMA, about your proposed trial design, including the ZFP biomarker.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, certainly prior to starting the trial, that's very clear. I mean, as Enno pointed out, since we believe and think that it is doable to start the trial in the first half of next year, our scientific advisor protocol assistance activities will be kicked off once the protocol is being finalized in full writing, because that is a prerequisite to file for these type of activities. So that is anticipated to be ready to go in a few months from now, so let's say autumnish, I would say, and then take it from there, apply for the assistances, and get it then, I would suppose, early next year in this type of Q1 2014 setting, take the results out of those meetings, implement them into the study protocol, and then get going.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I think there's no further question at this point in time, and thank you, Mike and Marietta, for posting your questions. I hope we could give you a good and broad overview of the current status and the perspective of 4C. We are looking to very positive to the further development of 4C. For the time being, we wish you all a nice and rewarding and relaxing summertime. I hope you will have that. And talk to you soon, the latest on our Q3 report. Until then, thank you very much for listening from the 4C team. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.